Thankful to God for all of you who work in the children's church ministry. I know primarily that's Kim Johnson, Rebecca, and Brandy Davis, and Markeisha. There are several others who fill in from time to time. But that's an important work. It's an important ministry that we see fit to provide a time so that kids will learn about Jesus. We're all about making disciples, and we want our kids to be discipled as well. And so thank you. Thanks to God.
So thanks again for all of you who participate. And they're always looking for others to join in. That is not a ministry that excludes those who have a heart and a desire to want to work with children in Children's Church. It's an important ministry. And if you'd like to participate and join in with Children's Church ministry, you can see Kim Johnson and Rebecca. And you can let them know that you want to serve in that ministry. For your consideration this morning, Isaiah chapter 12, starting at verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 12, starting at verse number 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Gift exchanges. Gift exchanges are often marked by rules. If you're having a gathering, you're having a mass gift exchange or white elephant gift exchange. There's usually a price limit. You might say, don't purchase a gift that costs more than $10 or $15 to ensure that everyone gifts are roughly equal. That's how we often approach exchanges, isn't it? It's fair. It's equitable. But the exchange that we've been considering over the past couple of weeks in this series, it identifies an exchange that isn't as fair or as equal as we might think it should be. Fair and balance isn't the word that comes to mind when we talk about a gift exchange with God, particularly when we're giving him something and he's giving us something. His exchanges are anything but equal. He asks for our little, our broken, our burdens, and in return, he lavishes us with his gifts that are far greater than we could ever deserve or imagine. And so this Advent season, we've been invited into this most divine exchange, the most divine exchange imaginable. So over the last 2 weeks, we've been exploring this divine exchange that God offers us during Advent. First, we considered how God invites us to exchange our fear for his hope. And last week, we looked at exchanging our chaos for God's peace. Today, we come to another offer, one that seems almost impossible in the midst of life's heaviest burdens. God invites us to exchange our sorrow for his joy. And on a surface level, not a fleeting kind of joy. This is a deep, abiding joy that can sustain us even in the midst of life's greatest heartbreak. In recent weeks, I've told you that I've stood with families as I've officiated funerals and attended funerals. We had a memorial service here for our brother Keith Jordan. The day after that funeral, I officiated a funeral for a 20-year-old who was tragically murdered. And I stood in a room with folks who were crying and grieving and definitely sorrowful as they reflected on the great losses. And I stood with these families, and I did not try to convince them to put away their sorrow or to dismiss their sorrow. Each time I felt the weight of sorrow in the room, I've seen tears that words cannot dry and heard the silent questions that have no easy answers, because sorrow is real. And in this season, for many, sorrow feels even heavier. Songs meant to bring joy often bring tears instead. You see, memories of loved ones who aren't here this year can feel unbearable. For some, this is the first holiday season without their parent, without their spouse, or without their child. Yet, even in these moments, God whispers an invitation. Bring me your sorrow, and I will give you joy. This Saturday is December 21st, and it's going to be what we call the shortest day of the year. We're going to have, in the whole 365 days, we're going to have the least amount of daylight, and we're going to have the most amount of darkness. And there are some churches who have seized upon that day, and they have a service, what's called the longest night service. And it's a service for grieving. It's a service for mourning. Some even call it a blue Christmas service. It's a time to make sure that we are not ignoring that right now there are people who are steeped in mourning and sorrow. They are allowing lament to be a language that we say it's okay to speak. Churches are inviting those that this current season isn't the most joyful, isn't the most wonderful time of the year. And as I said, for some, this is the first holiday they're going to celebrate without their loved one. But even in the realness of our sorrow, God offers us a season of exchanging our sorrow for joy. Another imbalanced offer, but an offer God is more than willing to make even in our darkest hours. Joy, like hope and peace, is a marker of the season of waiting for the Lord to come. As one author put it, he writes, "Joy in the Lord is not a giddy, senseless type of joy, unaware of the harsh realities of the human situation. Rather, it is a joy that is anchored to an acknowledgement of God's love and presence in human life. Because this joy takes seriously the distance between God's hopes for human life, on the one hand, and the realities of that life as it is actually lived, on the other. It is all the more wonderful. It is also a joy that is all the more intense because it is kindled amid circumstances in which joy is least expected." And so, as we consider exchanging our sorrow for joy, what if joy isn't the absence of sorrow, but a holy interruption in the midst of our sorrow? What if joy is God stepping into the longest night of our lives to remind us that morning is coming? Isaiah, who once declared words of judgment, now speak words of praise. He proclaims a joy that is anchored in God's salvation, a joy strong enough to coexist with sorrow and bright enough to guide us through our darkest valleys. Thus the prophet Isaiah prophesied words of praise. "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation." When we trust in God, joy springs forth because he becomes our strength and unshakable foundation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Joy flows like water from the wells of God's salvation when we are no longer lost but found in him. Our souls can't help but be joyful or rejoice. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Giving thanks is just a product of joy because God is always doing something. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done glorious. Let this be known in all the earth. Verse 6, shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great is your midst in is the Holy One of Israel. Singing praises is also a product of joy because God isn't holding anything back. Joy warrants that we give God a shout, because our sorrow will be swallowed up by the greatness of the Holy One of Israel, who is named Jesus. And this is what has captivated the people of God for centuries, such that we utter repeatedly these truths in our prayers and in our songs. Things like this, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And verse 11 of Psalm 30, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Church, we are reminded today that God's gift of joy does not ignore or erase our sorrow, but it interrupts them. It is a holy interruption, a divine gift that steps into our pain, our grief, and our mourning to declare that sorrow does not have the final word. Joy is not a denial of the reality of sorrow. It is a profound acknowledgement that even in the midst of our sorrow, God is with us. Emmanuel. And he's offering us strength, salvation, and his presence. The beauty of this exchange is that we don't have to manufacture this joy on our own. We don't have to pretend everything is fine or push our sorrow aside. Instead, we bring our tears, our heartaches, and our burdens to God, trusting him to give us joy that sustains us even when the night feels the longest. So this week, I want to invite you into some very tangible ways to take a faith step toward this gift exchange, this holy exchange. God's holy interruption, our sorrow for his joy. This week, and if you're going to be in a small group tonight, you can participate in this exercise. We want to name our sorrows. This week, take a moment, sit down, take out a piece of paper, index card, type in your notes app on your phone, and just type the things that make you sorrowful, that robs joy from you, that saddens you. Write them down, speak them out loud, and pray about them. Be honest with God about what weighs you down. He is not afraid of our grief. Grief is part of being human. But after you name the sorrow, take a moment to invite God's joy to wholly interrupt that sorrow. Ask God to help you see his presence even in the darkness. Pray for a joy that acknowledges your reality but points you toward hope. There's a third tangible thing that I would ask for us to do, and that's to be a joy bringer. Ask yourself who in your life needs to experience God's joy this season. A kind word, a simple act of generosity, a heartfelt prayer can plant seeds of joy in someone else's sorrow. If you're a member who has shared your email with the church, you would have received an email yesterday regarding an opportunity to serve the homeless population right here in our community. I explained the story of a mother and a daughter, a mother who has some disability. She's deaf, partially deaf. She has a very bad leg disability, which limits her mobility. She has a 13-year-old daughter, and for the past year, they've been living in their car. A couple weeks ago, last week, when it got really chilly, they would try to find a parking lot and just park there and leave the car on all night to keep warm, so that they could sleep in warmth. Of course, that runs out all the gas. And so she reached out to the community asking, can someone help me with gas? I just can't stay warm. They found a parking garage to go into and park in the parking garage. And with all of those challenges, this mother makes sure that her daughter gets to school every day, drives her daughter to school, picks her up from school, makes sure that she does not miss her education. It's been this wonderful collection of just residents in the city of Reynoldsburg who've come together and just said, let's just try to find ways to help. One of the residents says, man, I've got some hotel points that, man, I've just been racking up. You know what? I'm going to use some of those points and put this family up for a week in a hotel. Our church helped out a little bit. I asked you if you were so willing to add to the effort, special contribution if you want to give to this family. If you want to write a check, just write a check in the memo line, put homeless ministry. Also, there's a homeless family living under a bridge that we're told they were trespassing. They've got to move. They're trying to find a place. See, simple acts of just giving a few dollars that might bring some joy, even if it's for a week. Even if it gives them enough breathing room to sit down with some folks and come up with some workable solutions and resources. There's a laundromat in town that heard about the story and told this family, if you come to the laundromat, I'll donate all the laundry services for free. The joy of being able to have clean clothes and clean supplies. This week, let's think about ways that we can be a joy bringer and bring God's joy into people's lives. As Isaiah declared, shout aloud and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Today, let's remember this. Jesus, the Holy One, is in our midst. He came to exchange our sorrow for joy. And though we may weep through the night, joy indeed comes in the morning. Let us leave this place today trusting in God who not only walks with us through our sorrow, but also leads us to wells of salvation and joy. In this Advent, may we exchange the weight of our mourning for the lightness of God's eternal joy. I invite the praise team up to sing a song of invitation. If during the song of invitation, you want to share the blessing of joy with the rest of the church, if you've been burdened with sorrow and you want us to surround you in prayer, that God would bring his joy into your life, even as you mourn, that he will wholly interrupt your sorrow. To let you know and to inform you that your sorrow is real, and that we're not trying to pray it away, we're not trying to dismiss it, we're not trying to diminish it. We want to bring God's joy to walk alongside your sorrow. It does some powerful things. If there is something else that's just burdening you and aching your heart, I have a prayer request I'll share after the invitation. Feel free to share that. Let's stand and let's sing together.